some of the actions and things of that of a good father, of one that is really just waiting for his children to come home. And in noticing that, which we had mentioned a few weeks, but he'd been sick ever since. Brock Stoner was immersed into Christ 2 weeks ago. So we got his... Congratulations. He'd missed so much church, we were going to have the elders call on him and see why he hadn't been coming. But we're glad he's feeling better and ready to go for camp. And so this is an exciting day. It's camp day. It's Father's Day. And so we are excited to be able to be here and share. And as we looked there and saw that video in Luke chapter 15, I thought, like I said, sharing that whole text would be a little bit more pertinent than just we're going to be looking at just a few verses of that text here in a moment. But it wouldn't be Father's Day if we didn't have some dad jokes to be able to share and be reminded of. So if you've got the answer, holler this out, help us out along the way. So which word is spelled wrong in the dictionary? There you go, wrong. What lights up a soccer stadium? Josh? A soccer match. All right? Why did God place the nose in the middle of the face? Because that's the center. Watermelons are full of water. Why? Because they're planted in the spring. I had a dream last night. I was working on my car and working on the tailpipe. I woke up exhausted. Why should you always put your left shoe on last? Because it's the only one left. What do you call a fish with no eyes? Oops. That's right, very good. You know, if you say the word gullible fast enough, it sounds like orange. I had several dreams last night, apparently. But I dreamt I was eating a marshmallow. I woke up, my pillow was gone. No. I did think of Vanessa several times during those jokes, though, because I thought a lot of those were right up her line there. But anyway, so as we look today on a little bit more serious note, and looking at this and the songs that we've sung and just the reminder of the ultimate Father in heaven. And we're all grateful and thankful for our dads, our fathers here on this earth. And I think we've even on the way out, all guys get a snack just like the girls all did on Mother's Day. So make sure you grab that on the way out. And usually, guys, if you're wise, you'll pick something chocolate and then give it to your wife. Just saying. All right. Noah, you don't have to worry about that since you're not married. Okay? Unless you want to give it to your sister. No? He's like, no, no. But anyway, so we're going to look at just three verses of that whole text. Luke chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. It says, I will get up and I'll go to my father. I wanted to put in this, but I didn't, but I'm going to talk about it, so I probably should have. But anyway, verse 17, I love that phrase. It says, as he's sitting there and he comes to his senses, he realizes. And we've all had that ah-ah moment, right? that we realize Dad was right. Right? And so as we look at that, he says, you know, he comes to his senses. He says, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Isn't that interesting? Sinned against heaven and in your sight. And so it's a reminder to us that even as the child drifts away, he's still got heaven on his mind. And he's still got the ultimate father on his mind. And he's got his dad on his mind. He says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired men. He knew how good they had it. He knew how good the hired servants had it. Being able to have a place to sleep, didn't have to sleep with the pigs. I mean, there's a whole story in itself there of the boy going and taking care of the pigs. That was like the height of craziness for a Jew to go and take care of the pigs. But I'll be a hired man, verse 20. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, and I loved in that video how you saw the sun coming out around the bushes and down the trail. The father saw him and felt compassion for him. Reminds me of the time we read, and Gary always likes to point this out, that we see that of even Jesus as he sat down with the crowds and he was moved with compassion. He felt compassion. Felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. He didn't run up to him and smack him in the face. He didn't run up to him and say, how dare you? He didn't run up to him and say, who do you think you are? He didn't go up to him and say, you know how you've embarrassed the family? He was moved with compassion. And he ran. And that is something that I want to point out here in the Hebrew culture of the day. Number one, dads did not run. Okay? If they wanted somebody to go get something, they had somebody else go get it. Right? But dads did not run. And as you see there, and the whole text implies, is he has to pick up his robe. Oh, my goodness, that'd be the height of indecency, right? That'd be like an old guy wearing shorts. Whew. You're just like, and then they don't have socks that match. You know how that goes, right? But so as you see this, it would be the height of that forgetting about oneself and so engulfed in the return of the son, that's all he could think about, that's all he cared about. Didn't care what anybody else thought. Didn't care who was going to get in his way. He was hiking up his robe, and he was running to get to him as fast as he could. And that's really what I want to focus on there this morning, those three verses. And seeing in there, not only our earthly fathers, but also seeing especially our heavenly Father and the goodness that he offers to us. We're going to look at three specific things from this text, and our counterpoints are all going to come from the Sermon on the Mount. And if you go back and you happen to read the Sermon on the Mount, you'll notice that Jesus talks about the Father, his Father, quite often in the Sermon on the Mount. No wonder it was the greatest sermon ever preached. Look who its topic was, and so much discussed there of the Father. And so as we see this, all of our verses are going to have... like I said, our counterpoints taken out of the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll be in Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7 for some of those. But the first one that we wanna look at, remember the son is sitting there and he says to himself, I'm gonna say to my Father. And this is an important thing to understand, is that the Father listens. I'm going to say this, and Hal kind of touched on this as a side note in our class here this morning over in this section, talking about, you know, when kids come and they've got an opportunity, they want to say something, just take a few moments and listen to what they've got to say. And who knows, it might brighten up your day as well. But it's a reminder to us that the Father listens. And that's when Jesus was teaching them how to pray. And he says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so we want for the Father to listen. Then we talk to him in a way that is respectfully coming to him and talking to him. I'll say to my Father, really, I'm sorry. I blew it. I messed up. Just let me come in and be one of the hirelings. They got a place to sleep. They got bread. They got water. They got everything that they need to be taken care of. And it's provided by you. Remember this morning, we have a Father in heaven. You know, there may be those that have had terrible dads here on earth, whatever the case may be. But when you come to Christ, you then have a Father in heaven that wants to listen to you. And whatever you say to him is important. No matter how crazy it may seem. And so when we think of this story that is being shared, and no doubt there's way deeper lessons we could get into today, but I'm just wanting for us to share simple things that we'll remember. And that is, we've got a Father that listens. And that's why it's important when the little ones are learning how to pray and they ramble on about, you know, all the names of your goats in their prayer, whatever it may be, the Lord finds that important because the child is trying to talk to him about that. Let them do that. Let them do that. That's one thing we appreciate when, yeah, we got Jude and Jace and they pray. Half the time I don't even know what they're saying. But the Father in heaven does. Secondly, not only do we have a Father that listens, and this is one we say, well, it should just happen. But it's hard because we're human. But the Father forgives. The Father forgives. So he goes back to the Father, remember? He runs back to the Father, and as he's coming, he doesn't even say anything. But if we know what the meaning of repentance is, that means you're headed one direction. You're walking away from the Father, and you turn around and you walk towards the Father. When he saw that son coming around the corner, when we saw him coming down that trail, whether it was ever said or not, there was repentance on the heart. That's what the Father saw, because the Father can listen even when we don't say anything. But that son was headed back home. He was headed towards the Father. He was headed towards home. And the Father forgives. As we said, the Father could have done all sorts of things. Could have put him on the lowest rung. Didn't even have to accept him back. The Father didn't have to. But not only did he not put him in as a slave, not put him in as a hired hand, not he restored him to full sonship. As us being those sinners that have walked away at some time and hopefully have come home, we're saying praise the Lord and hallelujah to that. Because the sonship has been restored. And the father comes running and throws his arms around him and kisses him on the neck and reminds us all how the love of the Father I know sometimes as a dad you get accused of having selective amnesia, right? But be known, there's times we have selective amnesia for a reason. Because if we do forgive, then we do forget. And that's where we see him being restored 100%. He did not just bring him in and say, okay, you've already spent your life savings. You've already spent my life savings. You don't get, we'll let you stay here. You don't get all, but he forgot about all that. He was restored with the robe. He was restored with the ring. He was given the fatted calf. They had a party. And so as we see that and we're reminded of that, that's something that's kind of hard for us because we're humans. Well, you've hurt me. Here's a thing you learn as a dad, and we all probably need to learn as people, is get over yourself. Because there's not a parent sitting here today that would not that does not have the desire for their children to walk with the Lord. And so when we see that, he's willing to forgive. He did some pretty terrible, nasty things. I don't know if we should forgive him. You know, I venture to say that as they sat around the table, the son probably didn't tell the stories of how he spent all his dad's money. Because I would have that, I'd find that hard to believe, and then that was repentance. See, we do that a lot of times. We say we've repented, but then we want to brag about our wicked past. I don't think the son did that. I think the son was sorry. The son was remorseful. The son repented. The father forgave. Why did the father forgive? It goes back to the point there in the verse where we saw that it said that he felt compassion for him. And I hope that at least, I hope you're not so callous to the world that when you saw the way that the father treated both the sons, that maybe it brought a little tear to your eye. Because we look beyond that it's just someone's dad, but that it's our Father who art in heaven. But as the Greek text tells us, at times when we see that, and we do see that, Father, Father, that sometimes better translated as Daddy, Daddy. that he's there for us. That no matter how old that son was, the father still didn't mind hearing that. Our Father in heaven doesn't mind hearing, "Oh, Daddy, Daddy, we need you." You know why? Because the Father cares. The Father cares. Matthew chapter 7 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" What he's saying here in the text of the Sermon on the Mount is so that when you read of what a physical earthly father did in Luke chapter 15, know this, that our Father which is in heaven is even better than that. That's the whole point. That he's better. That if an earthly father, an earthly dad, knows what to do and that it's good, how much better does our Father, which art in heaven, know? He cares. He cares about his children's well-being. More specifically, about their spiritual life. And when that son came home, he'd probably learn some lessons the hard way. But the father didn't throw it in his face. The father took him back in. How grateful and thankful we should be. You know, 2 weeks ago on that Sunday, I wasn't at, we'd been out for supper that night, and then Jason called. I wasn't in the house, but I imagine Jason was pretty light on his feet, wanting to get out there to where we could get him baptized. Almost, we could say, gathering up his robe and running. Because I thought, well, it'll be a while. They're coming all the way from Fort Wayne. And he was there just a few moments after we got there. So we'll pray he didn't fracture the law along the way. But I understand the excitement. There's that excitement that we have of the Father saying, "I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm glad my son's coming home." And that message is for each and every one of you that's here today. Maybe you're a Christian and you still need to come home. Maybe you're here and for the very first time you've decided it's time to come home. We're getting that trailer packed. We're all excited and ready to go. But if there's one that wants to come home now, we can be a little late to camp. Because there's nothing more that the Father wants to see than a child of his repenting and coming home. And he's ready to run and meet you where you are. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, let today be your day of salvation. Let it begin with your faith in Jesus, believing who he is, willing to repent of your sin, to change, go the different direction, confess Christ as Lord, be immersed into Jesus Christ, and live a faithful life for him. But knowing even when we blow it and we mess up, he's still waiting for us to come back home. Will you come home? Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation today?
Let's sing "He Knows My Name."